I will read to you from the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, beginning down at the first verse. Beginning with the first verse of the 24th chapter. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewn. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and I gathered where I have not strewed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Reading 2 whole chapters. I just felt like reading that tonight. I feel like the coming of the Lord is so near until we need to be stirred. And we need to know something about the Scriptures and what God is going to require of us, or what God is going to expect of us. It's evident here in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew that Christ is speaking of the end time. It is also evident to me, whereas it might not be to you, that this has to do with the sixth seal of the book of Revelation. I've referred to this before as having to do with the sixth seal of the book of Revelation. Whereas the Bible speaks of the heavens opening up like a scroll, of everything just rolling back like a scroll, and the Lord appearing in the heavens, and all of the earth, all of the tribes of the earth, mourning before the Lord. Now there's one thing that we need to thoroughly understand, and that is that the coming of the Lord is not going to be a secret. A lot of people are trying to leave the impression that the coming of the Lord is a great secret. The coming of the Lord is no secret. It's not going to be, as Jesus expressed it, in some secret chamber. It's not going to be hid away somewhere in the desert. It's not going to be secretly coming in some human being's life. It's going to come as an open thing in the heavens, where Jesus himself shall appear in a literal body, in that he has a natural body just like you and I have. He's going to appear in the heavens, in the natural heavens, in the natural clouds, and all the natural people of this natural world are going to look upon his natural person. People who have a doctrine, and I've run into some of them teaching this, have a doctrine that Christ is now coming in the Spirit, and there is no such thing as a natural coming of the Lord Jesus. They are preaching false, because that is not true. Jesus Christ, that is God the Eternal Spirit, he has a human person, a body, just as much as Brother Pike has one, and just as much as you have one, and someday that human body that lay in the grave, that's taken up out of the grave, that's sitting at the right hand of the Father, a vesture dipped in blood, someday will come back in Revelation 19, riding a white horse, and all the armies of heaven shall follow him in their own personage, and they'll return into this earth to execute judgment upon them that do wickedly, and the blood will run up to the horse's bridle. Now, there is no secret in the coming of the Lord. The only thing is, the coming of Jesus shall be so sudden that we who are not ready and we who are not watching will not be able to make the translation. Now, I know that there is a secret coming of the Christ. There is a secret appearing of the Christ. Whereas he comes like a thief in the night to gather together his spiritual people into one unit and into one body. That spiritual coming is in the personage of human beings. It is in the personage of human beings, and it is not in the body of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Savior of all. It is in the hearts of mankind, and it is a spiritual coming to the Gentile world, whereas the Gentile people will not be able to see, nor the Jews will be able to see, and nobody will know that this is happening except the elect until God has gathered together his people and caught them all away and hid them all away, as it was with the 10 virgins. Caught away and shut in, and then the others will awaken to the fact that something has taken place that they had not counted on. But the coming of Jesus Christ, the Lord himself, shall not be secretly. It will be an open thing where Jesus, our literal body, will appear in the heavens. I tried to express to my people and those that I preach to, I've tried to express to them that there is a difference in the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ as Christ in the Spirit. There is a difference between that appearing of Christ and the appearing of Jesus as a human being, or the coming of Jesus. The coming of the Lord is coming back together his elect, and his elect is the Jews. His elect is the Jews. The Bible said they are elect for the Father's sake. The natural Jews are the natural elect that's looking for a natural Jesus. But we are a spiritual Jew that are spiritual elect that's looking for a spiritual Christ. And when the body of Jesus returns in the heavens, by time that he comes in the heavens, it will be too late for anybody to make preparations to meet him except the Jewish people. The Jewish people having been blinded, God will allow them at that time to go through the tribulation period, and those people will be able to go through that because they are predestinated. They are the elect, and God himself had blinded them to the fullness of the Gentile people come in. But the Gentile people, at the coming of Jesus, it will be too late for anybody to call on God. It will be too late for anybody to make a change. It will be too late for anybody to make any kind of preparation to go with Christ. It'll be too late. So then, there is a difference. In Matthew 24, He wants us to understand that if somebody says, over here is Jesus, that's wrong. If somebody said, Jesus is in the secret chambers, that is wrong. If somebody says that Jesus is out in the desert, that is wrong. Because Jesus was in the grave, he's resurrected from the dead, and gone to sit at the right hand of the Father, and Jesus is not in this world, but Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And that same Jesus will so come in like manner as they saw him at the Mount of Olivet ascend and go, so shall he return again to the Mount of Olivet, and the Mount of Olivet shall cleave in hand. That is to say, that same Jesus that went up from the apostolic church and the apostolic leaders will come back to the Jews on the same Mount of Olivet that he left from. The same mountain that he left from, he's not going to come back over here in America. He's not going to come back over there in Russia. He's not going to come back in Germany, but he will return to the Mount of Olivet, and his feet will sit down upon the Mount of Olivet. Now, the coming of Jesus, he is coming to the Jews. But today, the Christ that we're looking for is already appearing to you and I. The Christ is already coming to our heart, already standing at the heart's door and knocking and asking if you will give to him an entrance into your life. And if any man deny that, he is Antichrist. If any man deny that Christ is come in the flesh, then he is an Antichrist. I believe in the literal coming of Jesus. But I also believe in the rending of the veil of Calvary, where the Jesus and the Christ was separated. And I believe that the body of Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And I believe that that Christ that was in that body has returned into this earth to do a priest work in our bodies. Now, he's called prophet, he's called priest, and he's called redeemer. And we know that he's referred to as the Son of David and as the Son of God. We know that. He's referred to as the Son of Man. And we know that in the three offices that he is referred to in, that he had a specific work to do. And I believe with all of my heart that the same Jesus will come back as a natural man to the world and to the people of the world, and the people of the world shall see him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him. As the Son of God, as the Son of Man, as the Son of David, we know that he's been here as the Son of God. We know that. We know that he's been here as the Son of Man. We know that he's been here as the Son of David. But because he told him he was the Son of David when he was here. But there's three places, three definite distinctions or places that he will take up his abode in those three offices. And the Son of David will be on the throne in the millennium. He will rule as the Son of David out here on the throne. He came as the Son of Man and was crucified, died as a human being and was led to Calvary. And he is a high priest and an intercessor as the Son of God, sitting up there making intercession for you and I. And as the Son of David, he will sit on the throne in the coming millennium. But I want you to know that the same Jesus, the same Son of God, is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, and that the Spirit of Christ has left that body to this extent to come down into your heart and into our life to do a priesthood work and make intercession between you and I and the Father. When he ascended up on high, he started his priesthood work. It was an intercessory work. And the work of intercession is still going on. He is mediating between man and God. That body is the mediator between my spirit and God's spirit. And that blood spilled, that vesture that's dipped in blood, or that blood that was spilled at Calvary, is the only means of communication a mediation that I or you or any other person in God has with God, the Eternal Spirit. It takes the spilled blood. It takes communication with God through His name. I made the statement the other night. Somebody was telling one of our people here, said, if they pray to Brother Branham, said they'd get an answer a lot quicker. But I want you to know that you can pray to God through Brother Branham's name until you turn blue in the face, and God will never answer you one time, not one time. You can pray to God through Brother Pike's name until you fall flat on your face, but God will never give you one answer, not one. You'll never get an answer. There is no other name given unto heaven. There is no such thing as a new name. Somebody said, well, just wait till we get this new name. And we're talking about this new name. And this new name is going to do it. There is no such thing with God as a new name or any other name except the name of Jesus Christ. For there is none other name given unto heaven whereby man must be saved except the name Jesus. The devil certainly would like to do away with the name Jesus Christ. He certainly would. All right, now there is no other name. Now you say, Brother Pike, don't you believe there's a new name? There certainly is a new name. And the Bible said in the book of Revelation that God will give it to us. But there is no new name that will bring salvation. There is no other name that will bring salvation. There is no name under heaven that you can turn to. You can't baptize in Brother Pike's name, and you can't baptize in Brother Branham's name, and you can't baptize in anybody else's name except Jesus, because that's the only name for the remission of sin. I believe that Christ lives in the heart of mankind by measure. I believe that He has dealt a measure unto every man. Every man has a measure of Christ if he is a believer. I believe that. But there is difference of measures in the human body. Some people have a greater measure than others. Your measure might be far greater than my measure. But everyone has a measure of Christ in his heart. And because of that, he has a responsibility to God that he himself must take care of. Nobody else can take care of it. He himself must take care of it. Now, it might be the responsibility of going telling somebody about Jesus. It might be the responsibility of sending somebody to tell about Jesus. Now, I know we got a lot of people, they want to go and they're going to go. It don't make no difference what you say. You can tell them whatever you want to tell them. And they want to know the will of God, but the only will of God they want to know is to go. And they're going to go, ye, if it's to grandma's or grandpa's, or if it's to Texas or wherever it's at, to be able to say what they want to say. Not a matter of preaching the gospel or telling somebody about Jesus. They got a zeal, and they're going to do it, and they're going to get it out of them. And that don't mean that you're preaching. It don't mean that God told you to go. It don't mean that you got a thing. Not a thing. And a lot of them are going to die and go to hell. It's doing that very thing. No man taketh the priesthood to himself. It's a calling in Christ. But if you do have the calling, if you do have the measure, and God does have evangelists, pastors, teachers, and so forth, if you do have it, then you need to be out there doing it. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. A lot of these people that's running to and fro has not been chosen to do the work of God. Somebody said, well, don't you believe they've been called? I'm satisfied many of them have been called. End of the Bible said, let whosoever will come. The call is to whosoever will. But the Bible said, few are chosen. Few are chosen. And a lot of them are not chosen. You say, how do you know that, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said, if these men had stood in my counsel and in my presence, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. If God had sent them, they would have caused the people to turn from sin. The churches wouldn't be full of miniskirts and bathing suits and the men running around with long hair and tight breeches. The house of God wouldn't be filled with professional men that's interested in the things of the world. If they'd have been called of God. If those men had been called of God, they'd have set them doctors and lawyers and dentists and a lot of others down, and they'd say, now you see here, you can come to this church if you want to, and you can be part of this operation if you want to, But being a doctor don't mean nothing to me. And being a dentist don't mean nothing to me. And being a leader in the world don't mean nothing to me. You're going to wear decent clothes and you're going to live right. And you're going to walk just like the rest of them, or you're going to stay out. But you know what it is? Money. The Pentecostal churches couldn't stand the fact that the Baptists had more prestige, more influence. And they thought, well, since the Baptists have got a football game, then that's what we need. If they've got a basketball game, that's what we need. If they've got a television program, that's what we need. The coming of the Lord is close at hand. Matthew 24 tells that it will be no secret. There is no secret in the coming of the Lord Jesus. Every person that's in this building, whether you live to see it, or whether you die and go down in the grave, you're going to awake at the coming of the Lord to see the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, somebody said, oh, wait a minute, Brother Potter. What do you mean? The Bible says the wicked live not again until the 1,000 years was finished. I realize that. I realize that the wicked will not be able to understand the coming of the Lord until the great white throne of judgment after the 1,000 years. But they will see the great white throne of judgment in its appearing, for the sea shall give up its dead. And all of the earth, the millennium earth, shall surrender up its dead. And everybody, both small and great, shall stand before the great white throne of judgment as God appears in the heavens in the great white throne of judgment. As New Jerusalem come out of heaven as a bride adorned for a husband sitting down upon this earth. I realize that Jesus himself, the Lord Jesus, in his first coming, in his coming as a natural man, I realize that the world isn't going to be able to take hold of that. It's only the saints of God. But Jews will reap a benefit from it by going through the tribulation period. But I know that his coming is going to be to our benefit. But he's only going to come to those that have already reaped the benefits of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's not coming to anybody that is expecting to reap a benefit at the coming of the Lord. These miniskirted churches, these basketball playing teams, these evangelists and preachers and pastors that are allowing their people to do all of these things, telling them that it's just a little while, and the rapture is going to take place, and God's going to come, and the Lord's going to take them away with him. That's wrong. God isn't going to take them anywhere. They're going to go through the tribulation period. But they that love his appearing, they that love his appearing, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, don't you believe all of those people love his appearing? No, they don't love his appearing. There's some of them that can't only stand the thoughts of him coming back. It just tires them up to think that he's going to come back. But they know that they've got to meet him, and so they say they're ready, and they say they're a Christian, and they say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. But to love his appearing is as a revelation, as a Christ that comes on the inside of us, that causes the outer man to conform to the ways and life of the inner man. This is the appearing that you must love. You must love his appearing, love his way of life, love that which makes you to conform to the things of God. Love the standards of holiness and love his appearing from within you, coming into this outer man to change your life into the life of Jesus Christ. If you don't love that way and love that life and love those things, then you fail to be born again. The coming of Jesus Christ will bring salvation only to the Jews. The coming of the Lord Jesus will be only to the Jews. The salvation of God in coming will only be to the Jews. And those that have salvation now without the coming of the Lord, but salvation now by the new birth and by regeneration, are the only ones of the Gentile people that's going to be able to meet him at the coming of what we call the rapture. Now, the reason I'm trying to explain this so thoroughly, I've had so many people to come to me, so many people to come to me and ask me
how that the thing was going to be and what I thought about it, how that it all was coming about. One thing is for sure, though the book of Revelation said, every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. Those that crucified him shall narrowly look upon him. It is a true fact that every person, whether in the grave or out of the grave, even those that crucified him, shall see him. In that the Bible teaches that in the book of Revelation, John said, I heard everything in heaven. I heard everything in the earth. I heard everything under the earth saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Everywhere in heaven, in the earth, and under the earth, they all gave honor and praise and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that does not bring them out of the grave. For the wicked dead live not again until after the 1,000 years is finished. So then they do not come out. A lot of people say, well, if they're dead, how are they going to give praise to God? If they're dead, how many of you know that when the rich man died, that in hell he lifted up his eyes and began to talk to Abraham? I said he was officially dead. He was pronounced dead. The physicians or whatever they had in that day officially pronounced him dead, but he was carrying on a conversation with Abraham. Isn't that right? Now, Abraham was officially dead, already departed from this world, but he was carrying on a conversation somewhere. Isn't that right? That's why that I tell you a lot of times that death, it's not when you lay down in the grave, that is asleep. But death is when your soul or your spirit is eternally separated from God to never have contact with Him again. This is called the second death, whereas you're cast into the lake of fire when this takes place. Otherwise, it's only asleep. That's why we know that we have passed from death unto life. My, as far as ever dying, going into the lake of fire, you and I could never do that, being born again. You could never do that because you pass from that unto life through the atonement of Jesus Christ. How do you understand what I'm saying? Now, Matthew 28, it gives us an account of the things that's going to take place. Now, I'm not going to hold you long, but just hold on just a little longer. It says that the sun shall be darkened. The moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. Is that right? It said that then the sign of the Son of Man shall appear in the heavens. Now what is it? It is the sign of His coming. It is the sign of His coming. For then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn. All of the tribes of the earth shall mourn. And the sixth seal of Revelation expresses it, that they will take their money and their riches and they will throw it to the bats. It doesn't matter how much money the rich man's got. At that time, it won't mean a thing to him. At that time, it won't hold any value. The Bible said that he will literally throw it to the bats. Everything that he's got, he will forsake. And the Bible said he will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon him, to hide him from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. For the Bible said that he shall come and sit upon his throne, be seen in all of his glory, and all of the nations of the earth shall gather themselves unto him. The coming of the Lord Jesus will literally catch you and I up into the air. Literally catch us up into the air. Somebody's asked me again and again. They say, Brother Pike, what's going to happen to us? Are we going to be preserved and hid away? Are we just going to be here? Are we going to go up into the air? Or what's going to happen to us? The Bible said that He Himself, the Lord, He shall descend with the voice, the trump of God, and the voice of the archangel in a shout, he'll come forth. And when he comes, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall suddenly be changed. Now you say, what kind of change is that? That is, this outer crust shall take on the new man. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I thought that's what we're doing now. That we're changing from glory to glory. That's true. We are. We are. But the Bible said it doth not yet appear what we shall be like. We are already sons of God. We're already going through the change. We're already moving into the wholesomeness of God according to the revelation. We are changed from glory to glory. But the instantaneous change that Paul speaks of is where he said it doth not yet appear what we shall be like. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, I know that the appearing of the Lord is that inward coming of Christ. And I know that we are seeing him as he is, which is a spiritual revelation and a spiritual glory that's transformating us and changing us. We use the song, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, the glory that is changing me. But that which must be manifested outwardly, when God completely removes the veil, takes the veil off of humanity, and there we stand in all of the brilliance and the splendor of that which we really already are. How do you understand what I'm saying? We are not going to become any special thing that we are not already. You understand? But we will only recognize or with the redemption of our body or the great appearing of the Lord will cause our faith to come to such a climax that at that moment we will be changed immediately into the glorious image of the Son of God, that the world itself might see the manifestation of the sons of God. A lot of people have asked me, they say, well, what is the manifestation of the sons of God? That is the manifestation of the sons of God. When we are changed into his glorious image and into his glorious likeness, that is the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, a lot of people that's wild about fame and popularity, and they've spent 30 years trying to manifest themselves so that everybody could see that there was a manifested Son of God, so people would drool at them, you know, some silly childlike motion and notion in their heart. They can't understand that because they say, well, Brother Pike, if that's true, well, everything will be over. What can I do? Woe is me. So you can see how silly they really are. In other words, I didn't get to show myself off. I didn't get to run around and let everybody see I was the Son of God, you know, and be a super duper. And woe is me. I just don't have any interest in it anymore. I've talked to people, and as you say, their feathers just go down, you know, when they find out that they just can't be a super duper. They say, well, what does the Bible mean when the Bible said that the earth is groaning and travailing and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God? What is the Lord talking about? He's talking about the time of the sons of God setting the government in order in the coming age of the millennium. You'll be a super duper, but it won't be here, it'll be out yonder in the millennium. Now, I know that you can manifest God here. I'm not cutting that short in any disorder. I don't mean that. But I mean as far as the manifestation of the sons of God, it's when God manifests in the coming millennium. Somebody would say, well, the world will be over by then. No, the world won't be over. It'll be going through its third stage. God puts it through three stages, three major stages. One, up until the flood. Another, up until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then another out yonder in the millennium. Is that right? There's 4,000 years to Calvary and 2,000 years to the coming of the Lord and 1,000 years to the coming of the great white throne of judgment. So it's going through another stage. There was a government to the people back yonder in the early times. There is a government to the people in the present age. And there will be a government to the people in the coming age. But the coming age will be the kingdom age. It will be the kingdom age. That coming age will be the kingdom age. A lot of people say, well, that will be the age of the Jews. No, that won't be the age of the Jews. That'll be the age of the saints. Now, I know that the millennium will be the Jews as the head of the nation. I know that as far as the world seeing them. But the celestial powers will be in control of that government, and it will be our kingdom age out there. The Jews had a kingdom back in the days of David, and the Gentiles has had a kingdom now, but the church has never had a kingdom. And there's going to be a natural kingdom in this world of the church and the manifestation of the sons of God, when we're going to rule with the rod of iron, and all nations is going to come and bow down at our feet and know that God has loved us. The sign of His coming. I'm going to say just a few more things here, and then I'm going to close. There's so much that I could cover in this 24th chapter just by talking with you, just like I'm doing. Will we be caught up? We will. Will we be hid away? We will. Now, you say, how can we be hid away, and then how can we be caught up? Right now, I'm hid away. Now, you say again, I see it, but the Bible said I'm hid with God in Christ. I am hid away. I'm hid away. The world doesn't see it. Now, somebody said, but Brother Pike, don't you know that the world is looking at you, and in your ignorance you say that the world don't see you. The world does not see me. The world hasn't seen me since the day that they had my funeral and they buried me somewhere in the water. The world hasn't seen me since. Ever since then, they've seen Jesus. Ever since that day, they've been looking at Jesus. They've never seen me anymore. I've been hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, and it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. And the Bible said, as many as have been baptized into Christ, they have put on Christ. I put Him on, and today I've got Him on. This is His body today. Bone of His bone, and flesh of His flesh, I put on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the wedding garment. Now, you can't tell it except through spiritual eyes. But at His appearing, if you're standing close to me, you'll recognize then what's been with you all the time. It is a true fact that we already have Christ, that we've already hid with the Lord, that the world doesn't see us. It is a true fact that we are passing through a great tribulation stage, a great tribulation. The saints of God are going through great peril, great trials, great sorrow, not in the natural, but in the spiritual. Because the Jews always go through the natural part of it, because they're the natural people that receive a natural inheritance. But the saints of God are going through something spiritual that there is no match for in the natural tribulation. There will be nothing in the natural tribulation that can even touch what the saints of God are going through spiritually in their spirit, fighting devils and demons, having heartaches and tribulations and troubles and woes and perplexities, bewilderments and fears. There is no match in the natural for those things. We have been continually hid with the Lord, and we've been going through a conflict ever since we've been born again, killed all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But the Bible said in this, we're more than conquerors. Now, it is a true fact that the Jews is going to go through the tribulation. But we're going to be caught up into the air. We are going to be changed when the Lord comes, and He is coming before the tribulation. Now, somebody said, well, I don't believe He'll come till after the tribulation. I know that they're teaching that. Like I said, Brother Terrell's teaching that. And I believe he's honest in it. I believe he believes it, or he wouldn't teach it, but it's not right. Now, a lot of the teachers are wrong. Some of them really need help. Now, like Brother Ruloff, I think Ruloff, he's supposed to be a great man. But Brother Taylor come through Corpus Christi and said some of the girls was running down there in shorts, running around with their pants cut off in little old bitty overalls and that kind of things. That ought not to be. He might be a great man, but that's wrong. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then they say that the church, that is Christ's body, will go through the tribulation period. That is not true. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ will not go through the tribulation period. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Thessalonians, will be changed before the tribulation period. They will be changed and caught up. And in the middle of the week, where the man-child goes up, I brought down on tape the other night, where the man-child goes up, that is the middle of the week, and then the 3.5 years of tribulation and sorrow begins to befall. But we positively will be changed, caught up into the air, and we will fade away into nothing, as the world would say, that they cannot see us. And we will not appear again until the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, where we come back on the white horse with the Lord Jesus Christ, a vesture dipped in blood. We will be caught up. Your type and shadow is in the book of Genesis, where that it shows the saints going into the ark, the body of Jesus. And that body being caught up over the harsh tribulation that destroyed the people, the body of that ark, the body of Jesus, being caught up to the top of the mountain, Calvary, riding over until it could visualize beyond the great wrath of God, the new earth, and landed on that side. We will go up as the body of the Lord Jesus over the tribulation period to come down in the millennium on the other side, Revelation 19, the finishing of the tribulation period, that we might get out upon the new earth. The first thing they did, they had a sacrifice. Isn't that right? I'm not going to try to get into Revelation, but the first thing they did, they had a sacrifice. And when the Lord, they never got their meat covenant until after the ark. We're not going to try to get into that or take a good while to go into it. I'd like to get into that sometimes, and also where they put their hands under the thigh of why they did that. Why did the sinew shrink on Jacob like it did. But anyway, riding over the tribulation period, coming down in the new world, that's where they got their meat covenant. Until then, they did not have a meat covenant. Now, I know you don't understand what I'm saying there, but just briefly, just to give you a thought, over on this side, it was a water covenant made with Adam in the garden. It was nothing but a vaporized thing, you say. Is that right? Just like Christians, they are Christ. It's a spiritual thing. Is that right? But over on the other side, they got a meat covenant, which brought in the bodily part of it, or the manifestation of the natural man. Over on the other side of the tribulation period, Revelation 19, coming back, it's then that we take our swords and literally dip it in the blood of living human beings. That is, it's a different type of covenant altogether. And over there, we will literally slay people until their blood is spilled. Because the first thing they did in the new earth, they had a sacrifice. And that's the first thing that we'll do when we come back. We'll sacrifice the people by the slaying of the sword before God to bring in the new earth. Now, a lot could be said about that if we was to get into it. But I tried to take my time tonight just to explain a few things of the coming of the Lord to try to make clear in your mind that there is not going to be some kind of secret coming that somebody might overthrow you with. There is no such secret coming. So even when they talk about Brother Branham being the Lord Jesus and that kind of thing, that wasn't true. He was William Branham, not the Lord Jesus. Now, I know he was Lord Jesus as far as bone of bone, flesh of flesh. As far as the Spirit, according to his measure, he was the Lord manifested in the earth. But he was not the Lord in the fullness of the measure of God. He was not God, that is Jesus, without measure in the earth. All of us are the Lord Jesus in the earth, according to our measure. Some of us are greater measure than others. Brother Branham was a great measure. But Brother Branham was not in the full measure of Jesus Christ in the earth. He was not. Now, you might take it like you want to, and some of you are going to do it anyway. But I tell you this, there's never been but one that was Jesus. Just one, that's all. Jesus. And the Bible said the Father gave the Spirit not by measure unto him, but the fullness of the eternal Spirit dwelt and worshipped authority through the body of Jesus Christ, not through Brother Branham. All right, now he had a great measure, he done a great work, so did Elijah, Moses, and others. But that doesn't take away from the deity of the Lord Jesus. We are looking for a human personage that's going to appear, that is going to be the natural capstone of all living human bodies. But don't be foolish enough to wait for the coming of a Christ that's going to capstone everything in the Spirit, because I tell you, he's already here. I want you to stand with me. There is a great thing that's taking place, my brother and sister. And you're part of it. And that Christ is appearing within your human temple. For the Lord shall suddenly appear within his saints, to be glorified within his saints. You are his great cloud of witnesses, and Christ is in you the hope of glory. If any man deny that, he is an antichrist. You have Christ inside of you. But don't forget, there is a human personage. There is a body that's coming. And that body will be not Brother George Pye, not Brother William Branham, not Elijah, as the Jews, some of the Jews believe, not anybody else that will be raised up. It will be him, Jesus himself, the human personage of Jesus himself. He will be the preeminent one. Him and him alone, not another. He shall see him and not another. How many understand what I'm saying? Let's sing a little chorus together. I feel privileged just to be a part of his kingdom, don't you? Just to be one tiny little bitty part of the great kingdom of God is the greatest thing that ever happened to you. One son of God will outshine the brightness of the noonday sun.